Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today, I'm talking to art authenticator Richard Polsky. He's based in New Mexico. I found an article on Richard online about how he authenticated an Andy Warhol painting for Alice Cooper. I was like, I have got to find out more about that. He specializes in Warhols, Basquiats, Keith Haring's, and Lichtensteins. I find out what an art authenticator does. It's fascinating. I hope you enjoy this as much as I did. I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is a brand that represents a community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, courses, and coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for a 50% off discount on all of their products. That's B-R-O-O-K-E.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, there you are.
Okay, good.
Awesome, good. Awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with me. This is fantastic.
Peace.
Okay. So how was your day?
Oh, it was fine. I see you're an art collector. I see all this art on your walls.
Yeah. This is stuff I find. A lot of artists will kind of give me their stuff, and then I'll find some stuff. And so I got kind of like a hodgepodge collection. Some of it's valuable. Not all of it is, but yeah.
No, I understand.
Yeah, it's not.
I get it. What do you typically talk about on your show? What are you known for?
Well, what I talk about is I started out doing exhibitions. What I wanted to do was I found out about all these exhibitions that were really cool and overseas and places that I would never go to, like in California or like, you know, across the nation. And, but I really wanted to go to them and I wanted to find out about them. So I just started calling up the gallerists and the museums and the galleries and finding out about it.
Okay.
Just as a way to appease my curiosity and also just a way to bring art to people who would not might not feel comfortable in a gallery or a museum. So
who's your audience pretty much, would you say?
Well, I cater to non-artists and people who are not artsy.
Okay, that's helpful.
But I guess a lot of my listeners are artists and, But it's more geared toward people who are not artists.
We're not talking about the blue chip art market and Sotheby's and Christie's. No. We're talking about people who make art and enjoy art and are pretty low key about it.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. Got it. All right. Okay.
So I've stumbled upon an article about you, and I didn't even know an art authenticator was a thing. And
it's not.
Well, you've made quite a career out of it. I was saying, and then I read an article about you and Alice Cooper and Andy Warhol.
Oh yeah, my God.
I want to know how to do this.
A true story. Yeah, it's a true story.
I'm sure you got lots of stories like that.
A few.
So just very curious of how you got into. I love Alice Cooper for one thing, and I love Andy Warhol, but I never would put the two together.
Right.
So how did you get, meet Andy Warhol? Do you know him? Did you know him?
Well, I mean, if you go back into time, I met Andy Warhol just once.
Okay.
And it would have been in 1986.
Okay.
And it was about December. And he was dead 3 months later.
Yeah,
he died in February of 87. And I had gone to New York. I had a gallery in San Francisco and we were doing a Warhol show. Mm-hmm. So I went to New York to buy a painting for the show and as an excuse to meet him.
Yeah.
What was interesting was I only met him for about 5 minutes and it was really boring. Well, it's like, who was I to him? You know, I mean, he didn't care. And it was his business manager, a guy named Fred Hughes, was very nice. And he said, oh, Andy, these are, I was with my wife at the time. These are the Polskys. They have a gallery in San Francisco and they're doing a show of your work. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, it's just like, there wasn't much to the conversation. What was interesting though, was what well, was, he was tall. He's probably about 5'10".
Okay.
Very skinny, and he had a white wig on, what they called a front wig. He was bald like me. I mean, he was, but he was just very quiet and, you know, just had almost a ghost-like presence.
Wow.
But I did talk to his manager. I said, well, how do we, what would it take to get Andy to fly to San Francisco for the opening for his show?
Oh,
he
wow.
said, $50,000. And I go, how do you figure? He goes, well, you're asking Andy to give up 3 days of his life.
Yeah.
And I go, what do you mean? He said, well, it's going to take one day to fly to New York, to California, then the day, you know, your opening, and then the day to fly back.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean 50,000? He goes, well, you need to get him 2 portrait commissions. He would charge $25,000 to do your portrait. In other words, if you had 25, he could have done your portrait or mine. And unfortunately, I do now, but at the time I didn't know those sort of people who had that kind of money to, you know, throw at a vanity project for themselves.
Right, right.
And so Andy never came to my opening.
Never came. Okay, so you had a gallery in San Francisco. So that
a gallery many years ago. We showed everyone from Ed Ruscha to Andy Warhol, but we also showed a lot of mid-career and younger artists.
Yeah.
But to flash forward in terms of your question about Alice Cooper, 8 years ago, I started an art authentication service. Mm-hmm. And what had happened was, it used to be when a major artist died, like Andy Warhol or Jean-Michel Basquiat or Keith Haring, mm-hmm. they would leave behind a very valuable estate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the activities of an estate would be to, well, you know, do the right thing for the artist's legacy. And part of that was not only lining up future shows at museums, but also authentication. Because all these artists like Warhol and Basquiat and Haring, there are a lot of fakes out there.
Yeah.
And they wanted to curtail that activity. Mm-hmm. So they established, let's say the Warhol people had a committee, a few Warhol experts, and you could bring them your painting. Anybody can bring them one. They didn't charge you.
Uh-huh.
But the catch was you had to sign a document where if they thought it was a counterfeit, they were allowed to take a rubber stamp with red indelible ink, stamp the back of it, denied.
Oh, and
wow.
Then
you were screwed. The painting was worthless.
Wow.
And, you know, so people would do it. And if they got their painting back and it was denied, they were very upset.
Yeah.
And they'd say, you know, well, why was it denied? What happened? They wouldn't tell you because they claimed they didn't want to aid, you know, forgers or something.
Right.
And then you'd be really upset. Long story short, the Warhol people kept getting sued. Mm-hmm. And they got sued once too often. And you could read all this on Google. It was a guy named Joe Simon who sued them over a red self-portrait.
Okay.
And even though Simon lost the lawsuit, it cost the Warhol people millions of dollars to defend this. And they decided that we're done. No more authentication. Mm-hmm. And then it became like a domino effect. The boards for, let's say, Roy Lichtenstein.
Mm-hmm.
There was a board for Jackson Pollock, Basquiat, Haring, and others. They all closed up shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of had the right background and connections to get into this. It was sort of an opportunity.
Yeah.
So anyway, one of the earlier customers I had was, I got a call from, I'll leave some of the details out. But the bottom line was I was contacted by Alice Cooper's manager. His mm-hmm. name was Shep Gordon, who's kind of famous in his own right. There's a book and a movie about Shep Gordon.
Okay.
Mike Myers did a documentary on him. It's called Supermensch.
Uh-huh.
A legend of Supermensch. There's also a book of the similar title.
Right.
Anyway, it turned out that Alice Cooper owned an Andy Warhol painting.
Uh-huh.
And as you might guess, it was of an electric chair. I mean, how perfect is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Warhol did do paintings of electric chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice, in the early 70s, as part of his stage act, he would get electrocuted in an electric chair on stage. He'd lower a cone on his head and go,
right.
So obviously it's fake, you know,
right,
it's part
right.
of that. So in 1972, he had a girlfriend and she decided to buy him a Warhol painting for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought him a red electric chair.
Uh-huh.
Painting was maybe 22 by 28 inches. And she paid $2,500 for it.
Wow.
But it was unstretched at the time. It wasn't on wooden stretcher bars. And it's a long story, but Andy never signed it, which proved to be a problem years later.
Oh.
Anyway, Alice got the painting, but he was touring heavily at the time, rolled it up, put it in a cardboard tube, threw it in his garage. I mean, he was based in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. He still has a home there. It's technically Scottsdale. And forgot about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, years pass. And one day, this is maybe 10 years ago, I don't know, maybe longer, maybe 15. He was out on the golf course in Maui, in Hawaii. He's playing golf with Dennis Hopper. All right. That would be an interesting pairing.
Yeah.
Dennis is a Warhol collector. And he was talking about how he just sold one of his Warhols for a lot of money. And, you know, the light bulb goes off and Alice goes, I have a Warhol. And Dennis goes, really, where is it? You know, I've never seen it at your place. And he goes, I don't know. And Dennis is like, you better go find it because it's worth it. So Alice's mother was living in his home. He calls her. He goes, hey, Mom, can you go out to the garage? You know, I think my painting is out there, but it's in a tube. And I got a lot of art in tubes. And eventually she found it. And she called him. She goes, yeah, it's right here. You know, anyway, there are a lot of stories of what happened in between him finding it and not. But the bottom line is the Warhol people had, I believe, gone out of business, their authentication board.
Okay.
So it was too late for him to go there. And that's how he ended up having me look at it.
Okay.
And it turned out to be, it was authentic. It was right as rain. It was crazy. I mean, it was a true story. Everything checked out. See, when you authenticate a work of art, it's based on two things. The first thing is, what does the image look like? How does it compare to other Warhols that are known to be genuine? So you might compare Alice's, because Andy did lots of electric chairs in different colors. They're all slightly different. Sometimes he'd screen a little too much ink. You know, there were photo silk screens. Sometimes not enough. So they all had their own personality. So painting was fine. And then the second half of the equation is, what is the painting's backstory, what they call a provenance? And the story Alice told about how we acquired it and its history was true. It rang true. I know about that stuff. And it was a long story as to what happened once he got it authenticated by me. I don't want to bore your listeners. It just goes on and on. But suffice to say, yeah, I did do that. And I did get to meet Alice. He was in New York for a book signing for his manager, that guy, you know, the Supermensch book.
Right.
And the funniest part of the story was he was totally normal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's he had a very nice wife. They've been married for over 40 years. You know, the guy's a normal life. It's nothing like what he's not a monster. He's not,
electrocutes himself on stage.
But people love Alice. He was sort of ahead of
him.
It's not his real name either. His name is Vince.
Anyway. He goes by that now, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. But the point to all this is art authentication is an interesting business because, you know, we're talking, though, about blue chip art, investment grade art, not young up and coming artists.
Right.
We're talking about lots and lots of money being involved.
Mm-hmm.
And before you spend a lot of money on a painting by a famous artist, you want to make sure it's real.
Yeah.
That's sort of the first step. I mean, if you're buying from Sotheby's or Christie's or a reputable gallery, yeah, of course it's real.
Yeah.
But there's so much fraud out there. I mean, if you've ever gone on eBay, oh my God, what a mess.
I would never.
You'd be surprised what people do. Type in Basquiat paintings and you know, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're like, huh? Who would buy this?
Right.
And yet they price these things so low, you know, that you're tempted where you're like, what if they made a mistake?
Right.
Would it be a smart one? You know, people spend, you know, $1,000, $2,000, even up to $5,000. They think they bought a Basquiat that's worth millions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I turn down a lot of these jobs where people come to me because my fee costs more than what they paid for the painting. You know, it's like, don't, you know, this is silly.
Right.
But anyway, what else would you like to know?
So you say that like a lot of people are like, get angry when they find out that it's a fake. So like, tell me about some of that. How do you handle that?
Well, it's hard because, you know, you want to give people good news. You know, people hire you. I charge $3,500 to authenticate a painting. All right. $2,500 for a drawing. Okay. So people only come to me if they're pretty sure what they have is real.
Right.
But I most you know the majority of it isn't. I mean,
Yeah.
some of it, most of it isn't. And it's very hard to give people bad news because they come to you with these stories. Well, I got it from my mother and father. They left it to me in their will. And my parents would never buy a fake. You know, they're good people. They're honest. And we're not disputing, you know, their, you know, their parents and their integrity of their parents. I believe them. They just made a mistake or they didn't know what they were doing or who knows what happened.
Right.
So it's pretty hard to tell somebody, you know, it didn't turn out, didn't go their way.
Right.
Usually people are bummed out, they're disappointed, but they accept it. It's sort of, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
They're paying me to get it right. And, you know, I'm not perfect, but I get it right.
Yeah.
Almost, you know, not every, you know, I'd like to think 98, 90% of the time, but, you know, every authenticator is going to make a mistake or two.
Right, right.
And, you know, most people are pretty cool about it. I mean, every now and then you'll get someone who gets pretty upset, who'll say, you don't know what you're doing. I never should have gone to, you know, you're like,
right.
I'm sorry you feel this way.
Right.
It's, you know, but see, when someone hires me, they have to sign a disclaimer agreeing not to sue me.
Yeah.
That's part of my terms.
I love that part.
And, well, yeah. I mean, again, if someone has enough money and they're really mad enough, they can still sue you. But any reasonable judge would look at this document and say, you knew what you got into, you know?
Right,
I mean,
exactly. Come on,
you know, I'm dismissing this, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's an occupational hazard. You're going to deal with some angry people out there.
Yeah.
You know?
So how do you get yourself familiar with the art so that you know? I mean, do you have to, is it a matter of, do you have to actually see the art up close? Or do you have to, or can you just look at it on the internet?
Well, when I started the business, I realized early on, perfect world, you'd see everything in person. Mm-hmm. But let's say you live in Tokyo, and there's a lot of Warhol in Tokyo, mm-hmm. and you have a Marilyn Monroe painting. Mm-hmm. The cost of shipping it to me and crating and the insurance and God forbid it got damaged,
yeah.
you just, you can't, it's not practical.
Right.
But what we learned is the quality of photography, let's say, that's available to anyone just on their iPhone is incredible. These
yeah.
things are idiot proof. They take great pictures.
Sure.
And because a lot of these artists like Warhol are highly graphic, they reproduce beautifully. Mm-hmm. And if you know what you're looking for, you can easily do this all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how everything's done, because these are global markets.
Mm-hmm.
My a lot of my business comes from London, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, a lot of European stuff. So you know, you try to, you know, if you have additional questions, you'll ask someone, well, I need you to reshoot that. I need a better close-up of the signature, for instance.
Right.
You know, you work it out. So everything's done over the internet.
Right. And you do you just do Andy Warhol, or do you do other paintings?
We do seven artists. Okay. Warhol, Basquiat, and Herring are probably where most of the action is, because that's where most of the fakes are.
Okay.
We also do Roy Lichtenstein, Jackson Pollock, Georgia O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
Things.
And Georgia O'Keefe is in New Mexico, where you are.
Yeah, she lives, her home is about an hour from where I live. And I've had lunch with her boyfriend, Lon Hamilton, who's close to 80 now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an outsider artist we work with named Bill Traylor.
Okay.
So those are the seven. His name's Bill Traylor. So, you know, we try to pursue work that I'm comfortable in my knowledge of the work.
Right.
And like, for instance, there's a big market for Alexander Calder. Huge,
yeah.
A lot of fakes. I just don't know it well enough to get involved. It's too,
right.
For me, it's too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Picasso would be a nightmare. There's just too much to know.
Right.
So you just try to stick within the parameters of where you know the material.
Right. So how do you like, how, what kind of, how did you get, so you, what kind of stuff did you do to feel comfortable with like Andy Warhol or Jackson Pollock, or like study them, or did you like what makes you more comfortable with them than Calder?
Well, the idea